You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Heard March of the Abuser. That's by Judiciary from their latest EP, The Axis of Equality. And I played that today because, no reason other than I just enjoy it. I like it, and I hope you all did too. I'm Joe Thrashenkill. With me today is 365 Days of Horror. You're listening to the Toilet of Hell radio show. 365, how you doing?
Doing okay. How about yourself?
You know, I can't complain. Aside from, well, I guess any number of things, but what's irking me right now is, you know, normally I say, hey, it's Joe Thrashenkill, with me as always is Randall Thor in 365 Days of Horror, and there is a distinct lack of Randall Thor here today.
You know, I did notice that the radio show smelled a lot better than usual, so there's my answer.
And you're able to get a word in edgewise, so this must be an incredibly strange experience.
It's like going to the mall without wearing any underwear.
Both refreshing and a little worrying?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Excellent. So, I don't know what Randall is up to. He's at a Magic the Gathering tournament, I think.
Lightning bolt.
It was LARPing. He's definitely LARPing.
IRL LARPing while playing Magic.
He's a very talented guy. It's just a shame that he wastes all of that skill on nerd shit. So, a lot of things happened in the world of metal today, this week rather. The biggest by far, of course, is a new Metallica track. And every time Metallica sneezes, it is the duty of the metal press to write about it. So, Like a Moth to the Flame, was that the name of the track, I believe?
I think Moth into Flame.
Moth into Flame, something like that.
Same thing.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and ask for your thoughts. Did you listen to it?
I did listen to it. I liked it better than the first song they put out. I think in terms of Metallica in 2016, for them, it's pretty much been two for two. Like, no stinkers here. There's no Lulu leftovers. It's not bad.
I'm with you. I think that track in particular is the best thing I've heard from them in maybe a decade at least, possibly
yeah,
more.
Probably since something off of Load, maybe?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not a huge Load hater like most of our contemporaries, so I'd say between Load and Reload, there are a handful of pretty good tunes there.
Yeah, they also put out a video for the song. Have you seen that?
I will be honest with you. I listened to the track probably five or six times and never once looked at the video because I think music videos are dumb.
Well, I agree, and that's why I do video breakdowns every week on TwillerFL.com. Got to get that plug in there.
Well done.
The video, it's, I mean, I didn't even get through the whole thing. It's like a bunch of moths flying around while Metallica plays in a darkened room with a bunch of lights hanging from the ceiling. And I pointed out on the Toilet of Hell Facebook group, this is actually taken from two Korn videos from about 10 years ago.
Really?
I'm sure they didn't have any intention, but there's, I forget which songs it is, but there's one video where they're playing in a darkened room where the lights are hanging from the ceiling. And then there's another video from a fly's perspective as the band plays. And both of those things are in this new Metallica video.
It's almost like there's a dearth of creativity in our big metal bands.
I really want to see Metallica play, do a music video while playing in an empty warehouse.
I would be shocked if they haven't done that yet. I would like to see a Metallica video as done by Todd McFarlane.
Oh, like Pearl Jam's Do the Evolution?
Yeah, or Korn's Follow the Leader.
Oh, yeah. It's back to Korn. It's always back to Korn, isn't
always
it?
Always Korn on this show, folks. You all love Korn. We know it. Let's see. What else happened? Opeth has a new record coming out this week, which is big, big news if you care about Opeth, and I don't think either one of us do.
I did. At one point, I did. I really like a bunch of their albums. The last one I bought was Ghost Reveries, and after that, my interest in them waned pretty hard. And
is that like when they started going prog?
Yep. Mm. I think it's for a lot of people. It's just kind of like, eh. That's, like, the songs are fine. They're still an incredibly talented band. I just don't want to listen to it.
Yeah, that's pretty much the line that I hear. I'm kind of, I guess, in the minority that I'm not even a fan of the death metal stuff. I think it feels a little plodding, and it just doesn't stick out to me. So, sorry, fellas. However, I did, and I think that W is going to do a full post about this in the next day or two. I got a submission in my inbox. It's a man who's in a couple of bands that we've written about before. He's a cellist, and he performed a 9-cello cover of an Opeth track that it's just outstanding stuff. It makes me wish that the entire Opeth catalog was like that. It was Harvest was his cover of it.
Is it Yo-Yo Ma, our buddy Yo-Yo?
God, I wish it was Yo-Yo Ma.
Oh, that'd be so cool. I don't know if you've seen, like, I know Best Buy used to have these all the time, string quartet or string tribute albums to a bunch of metal bands.
I have seen that before, yes.
Like Evanescence, string quartets, and Korn again. It's very weird.
That is weird.
There's
because
a lot of them.
I guess it makes more sense to do something for like this for Opeth because it's more complicated composition rather than and Bring Me to Life by Evanescence. I don't think would be terribly interesting when done on viola.
Well, now I want to hear that.
That's
maybe Bring Me to Life accordion style.
Weird Al has to know that song. I trust that he does.
Get him on the phone.
Yeah, I'm calling up Weird Al right now. Okay, so we other things that we covered on the blog this week. I don't know if you caught it, but I did an interview with a fella who is behind that sleep dope smoker video game that I beat the blogosphere on reporting about a couple months back.
And yeah, it's pretty cool.
It is, and I got to tell you, I really loved talking to Drew, the guy behind it, because I felt like we lived a very similar kind of life. We're both the same age, and we both basically played video games instead of dealing with people when we were young. It probably explains a lot about my character now.
Well, now that's the norm, is people just play video games instead of interacting with people, other than calling them, you know, homophobic slurs.
Yeah, back in my day, if you wanted to call somebody a homophobic slur while you were playing video games, they had to be in the room with you, which meant that they could punch you in the nose. So
do it like a man.
Yeah, I think that might be a better move for society. If you want to say something mean to somebody, you got to do it in person, so they can physically assault you.
I think I missed that episode of Leave It to Beaver.
That was a Home Improvement episode, I'm sure.
Okay.
So that caused you, that interview brought up a really great question on your part. Why don't you share that with the audience?
Yeah, I was wondering what other types of video games you and the rest of the audience would like to see done revolving around metal. I know there's been like Guitar Hero, and there's that one video game where Jack Black did the voice. I forget the name of it.
Brutal Legend, I believe.
That's the one. So there's kind of been little dalliances into metal. I know Iron Maiden had their own little scroller video game, and I think Dream Theater did some sort of monstrous video game.
So I've got a couple of ideas. Is there anything that you've got off the top of your head that just sticks out to you?
I want hardcore vocalist Street Fighter.
Okay.
I want to see like Jamie Josta take on like Roger Merritt from Agnostic Front and just duke it out.
I am so into that, and it's kind of a bummer because that's the same thing that I had in my mind. I wanted to make an updated version of Pit Fighter. Instead of having cartoony characters from that video game, you would basically have dudes in the pit. So somebody with their karate style mosh versus somebody picking up Chang's, the big fat guy crowd killing everybody.
Would it be like a Dance Dance Revolution where you gotta like swing your left arm at this point and spin kick at this point?
Yeah, that would be great. There are so many new adaptations for video games with cameras so they can see what you're doing. It could be a full workout. You know, instead of jazzercising with Nintendo, you could learn Pit Ninja moves and get a work in that way, just in front of your television.
Picking up change with Nintendo.
I love it. The little fitness lady would just, you know, maybe wear some bracers, have a mohawk.
No one steal this idea.
Yes.
Trademark.
Yeah, I'm on to you, Shigeru Miyamoto.
I also had this idea. Do you remember, like, mid-late 90s, they were like basketball and football games that had rappers in them?
Yes. I'm thinking there was one game that had Queen Latifah as one of the... Yes.
So do that, but with different metal musicians in various sports. You know, make Bruce Dickinson play hockey, something like that.
I love this idea. You know, one of my favorite games as a kid, even though I was fucking dog shit at it, was California Games.
Oh, I love that game.
Yeah, like I still don't know how to play some of those games, but you had different events. You could play hacky sack, you could go hang gliding, skateboarding, and jet skiing, and I think that would be fantastic to update that just with musicians. So I think that Bruce Dickinson would be a hell of a hang glider, you know?
And to build off the sports idea, remember Mutant League Football?
Yes.
Do that, but with like the members of GWAR.
I love that. I want to unlock a linebacker of Corpse Grinder. Just that neck is unbeatable.
Oh, these are such good ideas. No one steal them.
Please, I know that there are video game developers that listen to the show. It's easier, or at least more accessible than ever, to make a game. So if somebody wanted to update the roster in Mutant League Football with GWAR, please, please do that. I will support you on Patreon, Kickstarter, My Free Cams, whatever you want. I've got it.
Chat roulette.
Basically, this is the best show on the net because you can only get these million-dollar ideas from our brains. So go forth, be fruitful, and make you some money. How about that?
Yes, let's do it.
So what did you get up to this week?
Been a pretty quiet week for me. Not much going on. Coming up the next couple of days is a holiday for me. So it'd be nice to not be in work for a couple of days. And then Wednesday I'm going to go see Alestorm and Necrogoblicon.
Oh, man.
So that's going to be a lot of fun.
That is a lot of novelty band in one place. Alestorm is the pirate theme band, is that correct?
Yeah, the pirate from Scotland, just all about drinking and plundering. It's going to be a lot of fun.
That sounds fun. I'm going to check out Iron Reagan, Gate Creeper, and Skeleton Witch on Friday, I think.
That's a really good show.
Yeah, I hope that I can talk to Skeleton Witch again and completely embarrass myself about my lack of black metal knowledge again.
Make sure you show up early this time so you don't miss the bands like you did last week.
Oh, man. There's like five bands on this bill, and I want to see every single one of them. There's Homewrecker and Oathbreaker are opening up the set, so that's just that's a whole lot of aggressive music in one place. So I'm going to try to stay hydrated.
Stretch.
Yeah, definitely. You'll see me. If you're in Austin, you'll see me in the pit wearing a sweatsuit and leg warmers.
Is that the style in Texas?
Yeah, we do things a little different down here. Also, everyone wears cowboy boots while they mosh.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw indeed. Well, I think I fucked up a little bit. I forgot to tell the audience. This is a pretty special episode. We've got a guest on for the show who's going to join us, and we're going to listen to some of his music, and we're going to pick his brain, and hopefully we're all going to leave today knowing a little bit more about pro wrestling than we did before we started.
Give me a hell yeah.
Hell yeah. The guest on today's show is Dan from Void Ritual. Here now, never before heard track, is This Desert Hell. just heard This Desert Hell from Void Ritual, and we've got the man behind Void Ritual right here with us. Please welcome to the show, Dan. Hey, Dan.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Doing quite well. Glad to have you on with us today.
Hey, glad to be here.
So I dug this track, This Desert Hell, and it's going to be on a compilation, and I wanted you to tell us a little bit more about that.
It's put out by a guy named Keith. He runs the Dire Notes blog. So basically the deal is I guess he wanted to do a comp for suicide awareness, you know, suicide prevention and that sort of thing. So I kind of gave him this track, and the track, to be honest, is not really in kind of in step with Void Ritual's general direction. Generally Void Ritual's like really blast heavy and second wave 90s black metalish kind of stuff. And when it comes to that particular track, as you heard, it's slower. It's really, like, to be honest, I had a lot of like kind of flashbacks to slower Immortal tracks, like post 2000, you know, like that sort of style of kind of slower, you know, it's got like the Dio gallop to it and stuff like that. So it's very much out of line, but the lyrics are also very much about, you know, being in Albuquerque, you know, being here. It's not a particularly good place to be. You know, I think I saw a study somewhere where we're like ranked fifth most violent in the country right now.
I think I've heard about the same. Yeah.
And so between that and, you know, just the sheer amount of, you know, just people, particularly along Central, there's just so many people that are just burnt out and drunk or high or, you know, occupying parks because they don't have anywhere else to go and stuff. And so I figured that something talking about overcoming that and trying to survive amidst all of this kind of suffering that's going on in Albuquerque, I thought that would be, you know, something that might be kind of thematically appropriate. And then the song is just, you know, a chance for me to musically kind of step out of my normal boundaries a bit.
And it sounds super cool. I was first turned on to you with your release
Holodomor. I think that I'm hoping, anyways, that people from Eastern Europe will give us a bit of a break pronunciation wise, because it's not a word that we have here. Most places don't have a word for, you know, death by forced starvation. You know, it's not something there's really sort of a historical precedent for in the West.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, yeah, and yeah. I think when we hear the track that we have lined up, or the clip for the new album, you'll see that there's been a bit of growth and a bit of, you know, kind of continuing on. Certainly from a production standpoint, it's better, but Holodomor, a lot of people liked specifically because it had so much of those stronger ties to the second wave, you know, kind of colder, you know, just kind of no frills, no, you know, I'm trying to think of the word. You know, there's a complete lack of gaze or postness to it, and I think people kind of appreciated that as a counterpoint to so much of what's been going on lately.
But I'm not like a massive second wave black wave fan, but black metal fan. But I noticed that I mean, the riffs on that record are strong enough to keep a dummy like me interested. So it's, you know,
well, And maybe part of that is because I'm not exactly a brilliant technical genius when it comes to guitar playing myself, so I have to keep it simple just for my own limitations. But also, you know, I mean, the idea is to give, you know, like I what I loved about 90s black metal in particular was that it was riff heavy, and even with as noisy and raw and terrible as a lot of those records sounded, like there was something to hook onto. And so I kind of tried to keep in line with that.
I appreciated that you didn't record the record on a Fisher-Price boombox. It's the quality there was it was nice. It was enough that we had an agreement within the writers of The Toil of Hell that we decided that Void Ritual was the best unsigned band in New Mexico. Granted, there weren't a whole lot of other bands to give you strong competition there. Like,
that's true. There's a pretty sparse scene when it comes to when it comes to metal in general here. Generally, it kind of tends towards the brutal death end of things for bands out here. There's a bit of historical precedence, or, you know, like kind of historically important bands, I guess, but they're mostly more from Santa Fe than Albuquerque. For example, more recently, Predatory Light, who just had their album come out, I think, either this week or last week.
Yeah, seen nothing but glowing things about that.
And they're a really great band, but they've also subsequently had the foresight to move themselves out of New Mexico and up to the Northwest. So they started here, but they're not here anymore, I think. And then there's also, I want to say, God, I'm gonna kill myself for this afterwards, because there's a crust band that's really, you know, that a lot of people like. I want to say it's. I want to say it's Rat Salad, but I don't know that for certain. There's a crust band that a lot of people really enjoy from Santa Fe that, you know, every now and then they'll kind of come out of the woodwork and play a random show here and there. But otherwise, New Mexico is really not particularly strong on the metal front.
You might be selling Broken Side short a little bit.
Oh, God. Oh, fuck's sake. Like, that band... any good that you know, on whatever small level I do or anybody else in the future who comes out of this state does, it's still canceled out by how terrible that band is. Like, they are legitimately one of the worst thing. Like, I you know, and I'm sure they're probably, no, you know what? I mean, based on their lyrics, they're probably not swell dudes.
No, I think they're actual assholes.
Yeah, I've heard some bad things about them.
Yeah, well then I rescind my attempt at diplomacy.
Yeah,
I'm going out on a real limb here and risking my credibility by saying fuck Broken Side. Yeah, so
you heard it here first.
it's not particularly strong, and it's, you know, like most of the bigger or the bands that I kind of enjoy from New Mexico right now, they kind of tend to be other one-man projects. You know, like there was Lamentations of the Ashen, which is Bon Fry's project, and he's got another band that's coming up pretty soon. I guess it's more of like a sludgy black metal band, and an actual band called Jagged Mouth. And I guess they've got an album coming up in October, so I'm kind of excited to hear that. I haven't heard it yet, but generally it's a lot of, you know, kind of local bands that, you know, the guys that open up whenever Crowbar or you know, whoever it is that finds it in their hearts to just stop by our shithole on tour.
How did you end up in New Mexico?
Well, to be honest, it's mostly just from family needs. You know, when my ex and I split up, we have two kids together, and when she needed to start, over, she had to come out here because out here is where her family is, and so I kind of followed suit because, you know, I have to be close to my daughters. So it's not a terribly exciting or you know, metal related story. It's just you know, it was out of necessity, I guess.
Yeah. There's at least a couple of cool spots in New Mexico for touristy purposes. The White Sands, I mean, I could see a great concept record about that. All the nuclear testing nearby.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think of a band that kind of deals more with the sort of nuclear stuff. Maybe, we do have Roswell here, so maybe Hypocrisy could come up with an album based around New Mexico and, you know, how aliens are causing life in New Mexico to be kind of shitty or something. I don't know.
I would love to hear a cavernous death metal band record in Carlsbad Caverns.
Okay. Yeah. For the literal minded, yes. I think that would be pretty amazing if you could just like, what was that band? Didn't they just have a fest out in Germany or something that was literally in a cave?
Yes, I saw pictures of that and it blew my mind.
Yeah. So I think you could get a band doing just sort of like the in-house recording version of that, and I would like to. I'm trying to think of who I would want to kind of carry that honor. But to be honest, that's not a style that I spent a lot of time with these days, because there was just so much of it at one point that it got kind of overwhelming, and too many albums kind of sounded the same. Maybe Acephalix. I'm not sure how to pronounce their name, but maybe that would be a good one to kind of take the Carlsbad Caverns recording route.
This show is generally full of great ideas for people just for free to pick up on. So if anybody wants to sneak into Carlsbad, it's probably pretty well guarded. If anybody wants to sneak into Carlsbad Caverns and record a record, I will buy it on Bandcamp. So
yes.
There's $5 guaranteed right there.
Yeah, I mean, and if there's anything that can be said about cavern core death metal bands, it's that they're known for their subtlety and their stealth abilities. So I'm sure they'll have no problems like just shoveling thousands of dollars worth of equipment into a cavern. I'm sure that'll go over perfectly.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. So what is kind of grooving you musically lately then?
To be honest, I've gotten to listen to I've got a streaming promo of the new Darkthrone album that I've been spending a lot of time with. Just because I kind of, like, I don't know what it is. I feel like I owe it to that band. Like, no matter what road they travel down, I always spend a ton of time with each album they put out. So I'm listening to that a lot. I got a chance to kind of sample some things, from this week, particularly a little bit of the Alsace album. I was happy to see that they hadn't, like, that they weren't kind of continuing down that sort of like just straightforward shoegaze, whatever it was that the last album was. Mm-hmm. They've kind of reverted back a bit into something I still find a bit more interesting, no matter how much people have kind of copied it over the years. For whatever reason, just the time of year or the mood I'm in, I've been hitting Tankard a lot.
Very interesting.
For a complete shift in tone and direction. Yeah, Tankard, the first two albums I'll go back to anytime I feel like I need a pick-me-up, because that band is just, like when people talk about fun metal, I think immediately of Tankard. They're just fucking old crusty dudes that want to fucking rock out, and they do. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, someone submitted Tankard riff for our weekly riff competition just yesterday, actually. They're up against Municipal Waste for alcohol-themed riff. And
And that really is, that's Tankard's calling card, isn't it?
Exactly.
I think I actually seen that, and it was like from a more recent record, I think. I want to say it was Beauty in the, or Bourbon in the Beast, or Beauty in the Beer, or something like that.
Honestly, those guys have so many records.
Those later albums kind of tend to blend together because they're all just, alcohol pun, and then an alien on the cover, and that's pretty much it. Or a fat blob or something like that. Yeah, it's like, but those early albums in particular, I want to say, God, I'm going to draw a blank on the second album's name. I want to say Chemical Invasion. The album that has the alcohol cover on it, from Gangrene, I guess, you couldn't really submit that since it's not their song to begin with. But they've just got so many fucking, their whole career is based on booze. So you really could have picked anything from them.
Yeah. You can't go wrong. It's all pretty similar. They've got their shtick, and they know it. They stick to it.
Right, and they've made it work for themselves, so, fuck it. Just keep going with what works, man. To bring wrestling into it, as I often do, they're sort of the honky-tonk man of thrash metal bands. Like, they can keep doing this fucking shit forever because they've got their shtick, and the shtick is all people care about. Like, the riffs, are nice, I guess, and I guess in honky-tonk man's case, it would be more like, seeing the shake, rattle, and roll is nice. I don't know. as I struggle with this metaphor,
365, can you back that up on the honky-tonk man?
Shake, rattle, and roll, baby.
All right. Fair enough.
Thank you very much. The greatest intercontinental champion of all time.
So the intercontinental championship, that's like the worthless one, right?
Well, it I mean, it is kind of like it kind of is now, it's much diminished compared to what it was. But I mean, back in the 80s and early 90s in particular, like, you know, major stars held that title, you know, Tito Santana, Randy Savage, Ricky Steamboat,
Mr. Perfect,
Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, you know, like big names held that title, and it was sort of, you know, holding that title was seen as somebody on the ascent. And then at a certain point, it just kind of turned into like, you know, here, I guess, you know, Damian Sandow can have it, or I don't think he actually was the IC title champion. But, you know, like guys of that level, it was like for a while, it was just kind of a title that they gave to somebody because they just wanted them to stop bugging them for new things to do.
Here's a like prop.
Here's a thing. Trust us. This means we were interested in using you.
All right, fellas. I think we need to take a quick break because you've brought up a topic here that I know that we're just going to get deep down into. So let's go ahead and play a song that will reflect that. How do you feel about playing a Dead Wretch song?
Good. So this is the one from the Nakamura kind of tribute EP, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I kind of like the way it's labeled is a little weird because I really didn't want to keep coming up with new Bandcamp accounts and new email addresses every time I had a wild hair up my ass for an EP or something like that. So it's Dead Wretch Presents Necromura. King of Strong Steel is the name of the EP, and so basically it's just this sort of like quasi speed metal-ish kind of album that or EP that just kind of, you know, it's all about Shinsuke Nakamura, who's, you know, spent most of his career in New Japan and is currently now in NXT. But he's just like, he's sort of the height of charisma in a pro wrestler. You know, he's just got so much energy. And so I, for whatever reason, I was just like, I'm going to make an EP about this motherfucker. And he's, you know, like in my head, it's, you know, sort of like a more metal version of Nakamura. And the EP itself, like the lyrics kind of go through just the general psychology of a match. Like the album or the EP, I keep calling it an album, but the EP starts with, you know, sort of like Shinsuke getting the shine, as they call it. You know, he's very strong going into the beginning. And then he subsequently has some trouble and comes back on the other end of it. So I had a lot of fun doing it, and people seem to enjoy it as a complete change of pace from what I normally do.
So I asked 365 before the show if he was familiar with this wrestler. He's like, yeah, he's in the WWE right now. I'm like, oh.
Well, he is now, yeah. But he spent so much time in New Japan Pro Wrestling, and that's where he really got this sort of notoriety. And it's funny because early on in his career, he sort of had this very serious, you know, sort of MMA, you know, kind of gimmick to him that, you know, I mean, it was fine, but it was not what he would become. And now he's like super flashy, and he's got like, you know, the sort of the descriptors or the references people always go for with him are like Freddie Mercury / Michael Jackson. Like, he's got like this really unique presence for a wrestler. And so I guess for whatever reason, I just decided I'm going to make an EP about this Japanese wrestler. And then now he's in NXT, which is sort of WWE's developmental program. Not that he obviously needs it, because he's, you know, better than most of the people on the roster at this point. But they just have him down there, I guess, because they're trying to use him to help drive ticket sales for their, you know, sort of for the kind of developmental brand, so to speak. So he's woefully underutilized where he is. But he's also, you know, basically all you got to do is watch, you know, just his match at NXT TakeOver, or watch him at a Wrestle Kingdom or something like that, and you really get a sense of why people kind of go nuts for him when they see him.
So when did you discover this love of wrestling? When did this stick with you?
It was very early on in life. I'm trying to do the math here. I was probably like 7 or 8. And my uncle had a tape. It was like an old WCW home video release. It was like the best of Starrcade, basically. And the match that I walked in and happened to start watching was from the first Starrcade, Ric Flair versus Harley Race, which is like the main event of the first Starrcade. It's a cage match, lots of bleeding and stuff. And of course, you know, 7 or 8 year old boy seeing, you know, just random dudes that look like your dad bleeding all over the place. You're just like, yeah. And I was just, for whatever reason, it just hooked me. And so I immediately started, you know, trying to find out what I could. And, you know, growing up, a lot of like what I was able to watch was, you know, like the WWF sort of syndicated Fox shows. So like Superstars and Challenge on, you know, like on Saturday and Sunday mornings in L.A.
Yeah.
And you know, so that was a lot of what I got. And I would try to watch WCW when I could, when I'd go over to my grandparents' house, because they were the ones with cable. And everything that WCW did at the time was on TBS at that point. So, it was a lot of, you know, it was sort of an immediate thing, and just something that happened kind of by happenstance, I guess.
So do you, I'm so woefully underprepared to use the nomenclature here. What federations do you follow still? What is the word for it?
Yeah, most people just kind of default to companies, I think.
Gotcha.
So obviously I follow WWE, although it's probably the product I enjoy least of what I watch right now. New Japan. I watched that. I've been trying a lot harder to get into the more like the American independent companies. So I've been watching a lot of Evolve, and then over in the UK, I watch, there's a group called Progress, and they're, you know, they kind of bill themselves as wrestling for adults. So it's, you know, like it's not kind of catered to a younger audience. It's not like people are out in the ring fucking or something like that. It's not, you know, like, but it's, but they treat things a little bit more, you know, just straightforward. And, you know, like the wrestlers come out to, you know, various, you know, in sundry newer bands. And, you know, there's a wrestler from, that I first found out through Progress. His name is Tommy, and he actually just started where he's going to be starting, I think, pretty soon in developmental, at least that's the rumor, so to speak. He's from I want to say the Netherlands. And so we, like, he of all people had just happened to have shared my music, like, on Twitter as something he was listening to, and so we kind of chatted a bit back and forth. And he's a very big black metal fan, you know, just somebody who's really into like his character, even in Progress. I have to imagine it's probably going to get toned down a bit when he gets to NXT. But it was very, you know, satanic and occult, and, you know, there was a lot of, you know, basically he was a wrestler that metalheads could immediately identify as one of their own.
That's awesome.
So yeah, and so it's So I try to watch as much as I, you know, my family will let me get away with. You know, there's only so much I'm not usually a sheepish kind of guy, but when I feel like I'm asking to watch, you know, the 16th hour of wrestling that week, like I sort of clam up a bit, and I'm like, listen, I was thinking I might want, you know, like I get real wishy-washy after I've already watched, you know, so much of it throughout the week. So, there's so much to get into nowadays, and it's not even the American companies that are the most exciting necessarily, although Evolve's great. And there was a tournament in the South that was a lot of fun too, called the Scenic City Invitational was a lot of fun there too. And then also I just took my vacation to go to California to watch Pro Wrestling Guerrilla's Battle of Los Angeles live. So I got to see all three nights of that, and that was an absolutely amazing experience. You know, it's in a VFW hall and it's real small, but those guys go like just absolutely insane trying to entertain people. So it's a lot of fun.
I'm curious to what your thoughts are on, like, hardcore matches and death matches, sort of like the old ECW stuff, and more recently CZW. I actually saw CZW live about a year ago and witnessed a death match, and it went from, yeah, hit him with a chair, yeah, put him through a table, please stop slamming him into the concrete for real, please stop headbutting each other for real, don't wrap yourself in barbed wire, stop hurting yourself.
Yeah, like, you guys aren't getting paid enough to do this. Like, please. Yeah, and you know what? Like, I'll admit right away that that's, like, an area that is not necessarily my strong suit. Like, all of my ECW knowledge comes from, you know, like, the documentaries that have been produced after the fact. Like, I wasn't really a fan. Like, I didn't really know about ECW when it was happening because, to be honest, like, the era everybody loves is the era I kind of tuned out for a bit on. Everybody loves the fucking Attitude Era, and I'm just not that guy. Like, I stopped watching right at about 1998. Like, right as... Right as Goldberg and Sting were kind of taking a bit more root and stuff like that. Like, for whatever reason, the NWO just kind of chased me out of wrestling in terms of enjoying the product. So, so everything I learned, I had to learn about ECW after the fact, like starting around 2005 or so when I started watching again. And, to be honest, if I'm looking at sort of deathmatch style stuff, I think I'd rather, like, learn more right now about sort of the Japanese deathmatch stuff, like the I'm trying to think
Terry
of the company
Funk that, and
yeah and uh, Well, and the actual Japanese guys themselves also, I want to say, like, Onita was really known for that sort of stuff, like War or FMW. Maybe I'm screwing up the companies, but it's like I said, it's a spot I don't know a whole lot about. But there were a lot of sort of deathmatch companies that had, you know, had like a real following for a period of time in the 90s as well. So I think I would rather, like, I'd look into that more, but in general, I don't enjoy it quite as much because it's more like it seems to be more about sort of the peripheral objects available than it is like, you know, two guys actually just, you know, punching each other in the face or, you know, slamming each other on their head or neck or something like that. And that's more what I enjoy out of things, or at least out of wrestling. So deathmatch stuff, I don't really know a whole lot about, and I'll kind of readily admit that so as to not be outed as somebody who's trying to pretend they know more than they do, you know?
The only era of wrestling that I really know well is the stuff that you guys ignored, so
but you were like everyone else.
Yeah.
Well, don't worry, because nowadays, like with the WWE Network,
yep.
All you get is Attitude Era stuff. Like, the WWE Network, like the ads they put out for it and stuff like that, it's basically like an ad basically being like, remember when we were awesome to you? Remember when you loved us? Please pay us money to relive why you loved us.
So WWE comes through Austin, I generally go with a couple of buddies, but we don't keep up with any of it throughout the year.
So each year you're kind of like looking at it like, who the fuck are you?
Exactly. Are you? Yeah. And I love that the constant promotion for the WWE Network, though. It's like $9.99. Just give us $9.99. Just give us the money. Just give us the money. Just give us the money.
Just give us the money and then forget you gave us the money. And then every month it'll take it out of your bank account and you'll wonder why you're 10 bucks lighter each month.
That's exactly what my buddy did. He's had it for about a year now and we've watched it once.
Yeah. And to be honest, I wonder what percentage of people that falls into, like, I remember a few years ago reading some article about how I think it was something like 75% of America Online subscriber base only had it because they didn't realize that they didn't need to have it in order to connect to the internet.
That's terrible.
Right. And so, like, a slightly different version of that is WWE, like, hooking people into like signing up for the 1 month free trial, and then like every month there's just $10 that just disappears into the ether for most people, and they don't actually watch very much of it. I mean, there's a lot of stuff worth watching, but they overemphasize the Attitude Era to the point where it's like, Jesus Christ, did you guys actually put on shows like any like years that weren't like 1997 to 2002? Like, did you guys do anything?
The people can't get enough X-Pac.
Oh, yeah. No, you can't get enough X-Pac or, you know, D'Lo Brown or...
Oh, man.
Like, whoever, like, you know, just is, you know... And D'Lo was actually fun. Like, I'm being... Like, I just brought him... Val Venus. There's another guy. That, you know, you can just name off... Like, one of my favorite things to do with friends of mine who used to watch usually during the Attitude Era, but not anymore, is that game of Whatever Happened To, which is, you know, like my buddies who watched, you know, from 97 to the early 2000s, they'll just, you know, every now and then be like, whatever happened to, and then they'll say, you know, like, whatever happened to the Headbangers? Whatever happened to, you know...
Whatever did happen to the Headbangers?
Fuck if I know, man.
They were just on SmackDown like a couple of weeks ago, actually, for a random match.
That's fucking crazy. Wait, I remember they would wear like Rob Zombie and Marilyn Manson shirts like to the ring.
Yeah, like that was because that's what metal was to people in 1998. Like every now and then they would sneak in like an actual metal band shirt, but like not really to the point where like I mean for 90s television shows that were featuring metal t-shirts. Home Improvement had those motherfuckers beat, because that little kid from Home Improvement was wearing like Sentenced t-shirts and shit like that. Like that kid had the fucking right idea. Meanwhile, these dorks are like, yeah, guys, White Zombie, like that's metal and stuff, Headbangers, etc.
I'm just thrilled right now that that's the second reference to Home Improvement on this week's show. Okay, so we've talked about wrestling a little bit, and we need to get back on track because we don't have a lot of time left. You've got a new record coming out, and I want you to tell us a little bit about it.
Okay, so it's still a ways off. I finally got I got some word as to when to actually expect a release date. I don't have a solid date yet, but winter is when it's coming out. So that's I guess that's fitting. It's looking like winter. So basically the album is called The Blood on Our Hands. There's not like a solid theme throughout the album or anything lyrically, but there is, there's a fair amount of, me kind of either acting out through lyrics, anti-racist, sort of revenge fantasies or, just basically like there's a lot of, me wanting to beat the shit out of people who are, terrible people, throughout the,
I feel that pretty closely.
Throughout the lyrics. The song that I think we've got a clip from, is called Riata Sanguinis, which, good old trusty Google Translate tells me is, both, translatable as blood debt and also as, guilt. And so I use that as sort of the impetus for writing a song about sort of the bizarre relationship that that Catholics in particular, but Christians in general, have with religion. And I say that as somebody who grew up as a child, Catholic and then Protestant for a bit. There's a lot of sort of weird, there's just weird messages all throughout it that people kind of, they don't categorize it the way I'm categorizing it in the lyrics, but like if you think about it, you can kind of take from it that there's like this sort of weird, I don't know, man, like just maybe I'm rambling a bit too much, but so Riata Sanguinis is the song we're going to be previewing here, and it's the first time that I've made available anything from the album for anybody to hear. There was a sort of a teaser that I had put up on Bandcamp for a bit, several months ago, but that was an outdated version of the album, and songs that were on that aren't even on the album anymore.
You mentioned that on Twitter, and I thought that was pretty interesting that you've upgraded, basically.
Yeah, a lot of it was just, on the Holodomor EP and the split I did with Scotland's Barshasketh on Broken Limbs. Those albums were all recorded with like sort of old samples that I'd had for, years and years, that I would just sort of cut and paste. For the drums, it was like this sort of painstaking individual sample process that I would cut and paste. And so I finally, earlier this year, like upgraded my equipment and got, better amp modeling software and a newer computer and, Easy Drummer as opposed to, those like terrible 2007 samples I was using. And it's made a huge difference in terms of, the way the drums sound in particular, but, just in general, the production's improved so much from Holodomor to now.
Yeah, I will vouch for Easy Drummer. That is the greatest invention of this decade.
Yeah, absolutely. Like when I finally kind of figured it out or happened upon it, like my whole world, music wise, kind of changed because. As long as you can work with it and know which, samples to choose and stuff like that, you can get some really, really realistic performance out of it. Believe me, I'm very much on the evangelical Easy Drummer / Superior Drummer, just telling anybody I can that, like, if you're going to do solo home recording, if you're going to be sort of bedroom black metal, as people like to call it, Easy Drummer is basically essential at this point.
Word up. So last probably minute here. Anything you want to plug?
I've, aside from the album coming up, and you already mentioned, the Dead Wretch EP, the Necromera EP, I've also got Quinn Metal, which is the blog that I write for now, and I cover wrestling and metal for it as well. But the actual website is quinpop.com, and it's sort of like this general pop culture website that covers, you know, conventions and cosplayers and you know movies and stuff like that also. But then I had up the coverage for it. Like, I write metal reviews. This week I had a review up for the new Mammoth Weed Wizard Bastard album, which I know, like, people listening to this hear that name and they're like, okay. Trust me, it's really fucking good. Like, it's as heavy sonically, it's as heavy as the last Pallbearer album. But they also, like, it's more straightforward doom, but they've got this, this amazing vocalist, Jessica Ball. She does, like, these very, like, this very sort of choral style lyrics to things, you know, not all that far off from, like, if you've heard, the band Warpaint, or maybe, you know, for a more metal centric reference, like Mirkur a bit.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit like that, but it's in this, like, super, like, crazy heavy down tuned to Z minus, you know, doom metal kind of context, and it's really, really good. So I've got a review up there, and then I also look back at the new Enslaved, or not the new Enslaved, but the debut from Enslaved, the reissue that just came out for the vinyl release. So I spent some time revisiting that album as well.
Awesome. So it sounds like you can sympathize with the struggles of being a internet metal blogger nerd.
Yeah, always. Like, I'm constantly sort of drowning in, you know, like, what do I cover next? What do I do? And then, like, do I really want to cover this, you know, cover this band? Because, you know, one time they released an album under a different name, you know, as, you know, like, Aryan Terrorism 666888 or, you know, whatever the fuck. And it's like, god damn it. Like, you know, like, I think about this in particular because, as we're wont to do, you know, metal fandom everywhere sort of exploded over the news of a new Deathspell Omega album. But we also tend to forget that dude's in Clandestine Blades, the vocalist.
Yeah, and what is it, Miko, I forget his name. He also does that weird pedo-themed noise band.
Right, there's like a whole lot of like extra stuff to kind of contemplate and try to get to the bottom of, like, do I really want to do this? Do I really want to give this guy money? You know, like, and that's, like, I think more than anything, that's what I struggle with most, you know, like, just thinking out loud, you know, like, I mentioned Mirkur a little bit earlier, but she had her own, you know, sort of run in with, you know, issues with Islamophobia and that sort of thing. You know, like, she had that interview where she talked about Islam invading Europe and,
Christ, I didn't even hear about that.
Yeah. No one really picked up on it. That's why.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, or potentially chose not to pick up on it. I don't know. And I'm not really the conspiracy theory type, but it seems completely crazy to me that, you know, at least if nothing else, that the interview wasn't at least looked at and analyzed by people who are, you know, obviously paid compared to me, but then also have much broader reach than I could ever hope to have as a writer. So I wonder about that, and I hope that maybe it's just that people, you know, and maybe this is, you know, for the sake of giving her the benefit of the doubt, maybe it's, you know, something that was sort of lost in translation, as she's, you know, English isn't her first language and that sort of thing. And maybe she just sort of, because I went back and listened to it recently, the interview that she gave where she kind of had these remarks about it. And, you know, like, she, I could see potentially where she might have been coming from more of an angle of disliking the ideology rather than the people. But even then, like, I don't think it's been like updated or followed up on enough to kind of give a greater context to why she, you know, said what she said. I'm not really in a position to offer or ask for that, you know. So I hope that someday that's clarified a bit.
Well, if we ever get the option to talk to her, that's definitely something I want to learn more about. That, until I talk to you, man, that just completely, I missed it entirely.
Yeah, well, so if you just look up, I don't remember the website it's on because it's been a few months now. Like, I think it was back in May this happened. But I'm hoping that over time there will be, you know, either she'll clarify what she meant or something like that. Because I did, you know, get like it got my radar up anyway. Like, you know, like my spidey sense sort of tingled at that. So
the Nazi sense.
Well, or at least you know, sort of a cultural bigoted kind of sense, but that's too many. That's, yeah, yours is much catchier. I'll go with yours.
It is really disheartening sometimes just to realize how prevalent a lot of these horrible opinions and horrible people are in metal. So we'd like to thank you for being one of the good guys.
Well, and that's not to say that I don't have, you know, like I've had my, you know, like my shortcomings as a person. We all, you know, we all have some sort of degree of falling short as a person. And that's why, you know, for the most part, that's why I'm hoping, like in the case of Mirka, which I mentioned earlier, I'm hoping for greater context or clarification to what she meant. And I want to give people that chance to either clarify what they meant so that I don't feel, you know, like weird listening to them, or don't feel weird, you know, like, feel, you know, like, so that I don't hold these sort of like, I can't really support this artist kind of, you know, like I want people to either grow or learn more. And I mean, if like, I'm not someone who wants to forever damn somebody who had bad views forever, because I want them, like, if they genuinely do find that, you know, like maybe views they held before weren't the way to go, and they, like, they understand more about things, and they get a little bit more tolerant of things. Like, I feel like that should be encouraged and appreciated, and that's something that I want to give people the benefit of the doubt on, until, you know, unless they obviously fuck it up some way or somehow, you know, like, I guess good old Phil Anselmo's done a few times.
Yeah, that's really made me feel. I'm from Texas. Pantera has been one of my favorite bands all my life, so that's really making me reconsider things.
Right, and so you know, you want to give people the benefit of the doubt that they've rethought what they thought before, or they've thought better of using sort of bigoted garbage as a gimmick to try to sell albums, you know, and that seems to be like a lot of the times when I hear people come back to me or you know, try to tell me why they want to, you know, like they're still okay listening to certain bands or what have you. Like it's oftentimes that it's just, you know, it's just part of sort of the entertainment portion of the album. It's, you know, it's sort of it's you know, it's this garbage for the sake of being evil or whatever. And to be honest, that doesn't really hold water for me anymore, because everybody sees through that kind of shit.
Yeah, I feel you.
So anyway, so yeah, I guess I have I'm bad at being able to wrap things up. is the general takeaway. So yeah, I want to thank you guys very much for having me on the show, for including me as the, you know, the best metal artist out of New Mexico, for you know, for just all the support you guys have shown me over the years, and or at least over the last year or two. And yeah, so again, thank you guys so much.
Yeah, thank you for being on the show with us. I want everybody to, if you're on Twitter, follow Dan at Void Ritual, follow 365 at 365 Days Before, follow me at Joe Thrash and Kill, and follow Toilet of Hell at Toilet of Hell. This has been the Toilet of Hell Radio Show. We'll see you next week.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.